A couple of rusty bicycles leaned against the front of the inn, a lump of canvas in the street covering a mountain bike with studded tires. An old gray swayback horse was tied at a concrete post, the reins stretched to the limit so that the animal could slurp noisily from a mossy water trough. Its saddle was merely ropes and blankets, the reins spliced leather belts. A mangy German shepherd was asleep under the horse, and as the companions approached, the dog awoke with a start and growled softly, baring dingy yellow teeth, until they went past and stepped onto the wooden porch. A handmade sign bid guests a comically misspelled Welcome to Cord's Tavern, but the companions were impressed that somebody in the ville could write at all. It was rather a lost art these days. Throwing open the door, Ryan found himself facing a rain-stained sheet of plywood and realized it was a buffer to cut the wind from getting inside.
Pretty smart. Gotta use that trick myself.
Entering the inn, the companions separated, automatically going around opposite sides of the buffer so as not to offer a group target. Inside, the inn was a lot larger than it seemed from the street, the single huge room filled with redwood picnic tables salvaged from pre-dark days. A few had been expertly repaired with a lighter-colored wood, but every one was in good condition, offering seats for six at each. Old, faded advertisements for beer companies adorned the walls. Most featured amazingly busty blondes in string bikini swimsuits skiing down snowy mountains. Two fieldstone fireplaces stood at opposite ends of the room, throwing out waves of heat, and a bar spanned the back of the building, rows of different-shaped bottles filling the shelves, the mirror behind long gone. The ceiling was festooned with fluorescent light fixtures, reminiscent of bygone days. Now oil lanterns stood on every table with a customer. The rest was dark and deserted. More than a dozen men sat at the communal tables, slurping soup from wooden bowls or drinking from battered tin cups. A tall, spindly man with a red beard was working as the barkeep, filling mugs with frothy beer. Cleaning off a dirty table was a young girl with midnight black hair and a figure she could barely keep within the tight clothing. Jack almost stumbled when he saw the pretty waitress and bumped into an occupied table hard enough to rattle the plates.
Sorry.
Jack backed away, not taking his sight off the waitress. Crossing the room, Ryan chose a table slightly away from the locals, but with a good view of the front door. As the companions took their places on the attached bench, the raven-haired waitress hurried over from behind the bar and lit the table lantern with a smoldering piece of oakum. The light had a faint yellow tint, both from grease on the flume and the dirty oil in the basin. She placed both hands on her hips.
Well, well, been a while since we last had outlanders in town. Welcome to the Hilton. I'm Lil. That's Cord, my pa, behind the bar with the shotgun. What'll you have?
You got rooms as well as food here?
Christy slid off her heavy coat.
Sure. Upstairs on the second floor. They're clean and not too many bugs. But this ain't no gaudy house. We serve food and booze, nothing more.
Good.
Ryan placed a box of ammo on the table, removed half the rounds, then slid it over.
Food and three rooms for two nights.
Expertly, the waitress caught the box as it went off the end and suspiciously examined the ammo before tucking it away into her apron.
Cord, we'll test them tomorrow. If these are loaded with dirt instead of powder, the sec men will toss you into the pit.
They're good.
JB tilted back his hat to a more comfortable position. Lil looked over the group, then smiled.
Yeah, they are. One thing I can spot is shams.
Thank you for the compliment, dear lady. And pray tell, what is the bill of fare?
Doc beamed a smile with his strangely perfect teeth. She stared blankly at the man.
What's for food?
Mildred kicked the time traveler under the table.
Oh, gotcha. Well, we got rabbit stew. It's fresh today and pretty damn good. There's cold mutton, and we can toss a few taters into the fire for you. Bread and onions, of course, but we're out of venison jerky. There is plenty of drippings and stale bread, but you paid for better than that slop. No pies till spring, but we got some apple butter left, some smoked bacon, plenty of salted fish.
What kind of fish?
As Christy asked this, she fanned out her hair with both hands to hide the fact it was spreading all by itself. Lil shrugged.
River fish?
Not from the quarry, is it?
where you toss cheats and maybe your night soil?
The woman pursed her lips tight.
That could be.
I'll go with the rabbit stew. Big bowls and plenty of bread.
Ryan laid the Steyr on the table. The rest followed the choice, with Dean adding apple butter to the order.
For dessert.
What day had a drink?
Jack felt his muscles loosen from the waves of heat coming from the fireplace.
Water, sassafras tea, hot or cold, your choice. Cook has something he calls coffee, but nobody else agrees.
I said to drink.
Oh, bear and shine at the bar, if you got more ammo or something else to trade. We don't take Bigville Jack here.
Why not?
Lil shrugged as if the question were unanswerable.
Any place we can wash before our repast, dear lady.
The waitress looked at the oldster with newfound respect.
To the right of the bar, there's a tub and some towels. Lav is out back behind the woodpile. I'll get the food.
Lil walked away, her shapely hips moving in the age-old rhythm of dodging tables and the fumbling hands of drunks. She disappeared into the rear of the building and returned a few ticks later to start wiping down the bar counter.
We go in pairs.
Ryan surreptitiously eased off the safety on his rifle.
One person stands guard while the other washes. Nobody goes anywhere alone.
Christy glanced around.
You feel it too? They seem kind of tense here about strangers. Maybe lots of cold hearts in the area. After the Freedom Mall fell, there must have been sect men who survived and went looking for work.
Maybe that's the problem with Front Royal.
J.B. passed the physician a grenade under the table. She took the Feralds sphere and tucked it into her medical bag, still draped across her shoulders.
No sense guessing. We'll find out soon enough.
Ryan rose from the table with blaster in hand.
I'll hit the wash first. Christy?
Right with you, lover.
And they headed into the back room. A score of eyes watched them leave. Jack stood and brushed the wild tangle of snowy hair off his face.
Gone for drink. Right back.
As he walked to the bar, a few of the patrons chuckled as the albino passed, so Jack brushed back his jacket to expose the .357 Colt Python riding in his belt. The laughter died, and the men turned their attention to the food and drink on their tables. A group started dealing cards while another took out a harmonica. There were no stools at the bar, so Jack rested an arm on the counter and laid down a handful of spare cartridges. The oddball-sized rounds fit none of the weapons of the companions, and so were good only for trading.
Ooh, quite a pile there, Whitey. What'll it be?
Two fingers shine. Nothing ground level either. Old and copper, I forget.
Wouldn't sell dirt shine to a mutie.
The barmaid's hands were busy below the counter.
It's all clean brew.
He winked.
Taste will tell.
Murmurs sounded from the dining tables, and Jack assumed it was just the card players arguing over a deal. Placing a ceramic mug on the bar, the raven-haired beauty retrieved a clay jug from one of the shelves on the wall. Working the wooden stopper loose, she hoisted the big container on a shoulder and poured two jiggers into the cracked IBM logo mug. Visually inspecting the brew, Jack took a sniff, then sipped, and nodded in satisfaction.
Good stuff. No priming.
She was impressed. The outlander didn't have the look of a booze hound, but he sure knew his shine. The woman leaned an elbow on the counter, their arms almost touching.
What's the handle?
Jack Lauren.
Lily Duquesne. Tiger to my friends.
Strange. He could have sworn she said Lil out on the floor.
We friends?
He nudged her arm.
I'll bet we could be at that. You work shine?
He took another sip.
Yeah. Down by you ran on.
A man of few words, I see.
He nodded.
I like that.
Lily smiled, looking him deep in the eyes. Damnedest thing. They were as red as the dawn. She felt the urge to caress his cheek and stayed her hand by force of will. Jack saw that her eyes were a deep emerald green, just like that old jade he found once in a pre-dark museum. She was almost as lovely as his Christina. The memory of his murdered wife cooled his passion completely, and the teenager stood back a bit from the ravishing woman. Instantly, Lil felt the mood change, and she could see some dark memory cloud his face. Instinctively, she understood it was for a deceased love or family member. Hell's bells, everybody lost kin these days, especially with all the trouble at Front Royal. Taking his mug, she poured another two jiggers without being asked.